Just a quick housekeeping note. If you downloaded last week's show, you may have noticed that there was an editing error on my part. I apologize a million times. All you have to do is delete that show and re-download it, and you will have the whole and complete episode as it was intended to be heard. That is all. Ladies and gentlemen and lucky listeners, it is time again for another answer of the week.
You're goddamn right it is.
Where my good buddy Joe Patrick and I sit down and we listen to and discuss your answers to the question of the week. But before we move on, we need to know, Joe Patrick, what did we ask these nerds this week?
This week's question was, what is your favorite who, I don't know how to phrase it, who, what,
oh, who?
It's your favorite.
It's a person. It's not a place or thing. It's just a person.
Comic book relation. Comic book offspring. We didn't necessarily mean son or daughter. We meant niece, nephew, third cousin twice removed, young ward.
Plain old relation.
Stepson.
Sure.
Maybe not wife. Maybe not spouse. But somebody that descended in some way from an established character, but in your mind became an important character in their own right.
Right on. I like it.
Yeah.
It's a deep question. This is serious nerd, but I like it.
It totally is.
Let's start here. She called 3 days ago. We haven't heard from her for a couple weeks, and I missed her. I'm not going to lie. Ladies and gentlemen, Princess Ashley is back.
Hi, Joe and Matt. It's Princess Ashley calling with my answer to the question of the week. Hi. Sorry, I didn't call in last week.
I love that she refers to herself as Princess Ashley.
We did it.
But Thumper says, if you don't have anything nice to say, then you shouldn't say anything at all.
Oh, snap.
Regarding this week's question, which is comic book offspring, my favorite is Dick Grayson. And if anyone wants to call technicality foul on that, then f*** you, because Bruce Wayne adopted him. Dick Grayson is my favorite because I think him taking up the mantle of Batman was a really interesting paradigm shift from this very grouchy, serious Bruce Wayne Batman. And I think that the struggle that he went through to get to that point was really interesting. And even though Bruce is back as Batman, I love watching Dick as Nightwing living up to the legacy that he perceives, while at the same time carving out a very niche character when compared to some of the other sort of sons and daughters of Batman. So yeah, Richard Grayson for the win. Bye, guys.
Great answer.
Man, she is ready to defend herself.
Dick Grayson. I love it. And that goes straight to your young ward.
That's why I said young ward. Right, why do there. You think I said it?
I love it. I love it. That's an excellent answer. Hey, and I totally agree with her.
Princess Ashley, we're always super happy to hear from you.
Oh, God damn it. We love you.
You
we're
don't
both,
ever.
We're both married, but we both love you.
Don't get creepy. He's had some beers.
I've had some shots, too. Moving right along to Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
It can only be Shonix.
It's got to be Shonix, right? Let's see who it is.
Well, it could be John, but it's Shonix.
Hey, Joe and Matt. It's Shonix calling in with my answer to the question of the week. Missed a couple of weeks there, but
I love how bummed out he sounds every time he calls. It's like, oh, I've had a rough day.
No one listening. Yeah, pretty harsh on that Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. show there, Matt. I just got to say, pretty harsh. Like, I haven't read a comic book with a hot hacker in there, Joe. Come on, guys. It's an ABC show. But anyway, favorite offspring has to go with Cable. I mean, how could it not? Forget Rob Liefeld bringing him in there. But when that baby was born, and it was in the pages of X-Men, it was pretty cool. And then Scott totally abandoned it, but it was awesome. But then he went to the future and brought it to the man it is today, and he's older than his dad, and I love it. It's a great dynamic. He's fun, and his current book is kicking all sorts of ass. All right, guys. Thanks. Peace out. And I'm sorry, but I can't join the forums because I don't even talk on my own forums later.
Excellent. Excellent answer. I didn't even think about Cable.
The Cable answer did not occur to me.
Well, it's easy to forget that Cable is Cyclops and Jean's kid because he's an old man.
Point of order. He's the son of Cyclops and Madeline Pryor, a clone of Jean Grey.
Is that true?
That's true.
Really?
His mom became the Goblin Queen and tried to sink New York into hell. Madeline Pryor is Cyclops' first wife.
No, you're right.
Jean was dead. He met Madeline Pryor, got married, put a baby in her. She became the Goblin Queen.
There you go.
Boom.
There you go.
Order of events.
Great answer. Moving right along. The show would not be complete without a call from our very own Wooly Toots. Folks, let's see what he had to say.
This is Wooly Toots, one of the interchangeable heads on the limited edition THN action figure with my answer of the week. I have a couple different answers, really. The first off is I was really super duper excited when I read Simonson and Mignola's Wolverine, The Jungle Adventure. By the end of the, well, the very last panel of the comic shows a picture of the chick that Wolverine rescued and slept with holding a little baby. And I was like, oh my God, Wolverine has a baby in the Savage Land. And then when Dokken first came on the scene, I was like, oh man, this is it. This is the Savage Land baby. It's not. What happened to Savage Land baby? All right. But my favorite offspring in comics has to be Prince Taurus, who was King Conan's youngest son. Conan had three kids. Taurus, unlike his brother Khan, who was every bit Conan's kid, Taurus did not like his dad, never got invited to go on adventures with his dad, thought his dad was a bumbling oaf, didn't really like his sister, thought she was a spoiled brat. I guess you could compare him to Joffrey, but I only know Joffrey from Game of Thrones from the TV show, so I can't really say for sure. And I think the best thing about it was Taurus was mischievous, and he started to learn magic and even got turned into a goat by a witch. And when he got changed back, one of his legs remained a goat leg, which further drove a wedge between him and his father. His father never... If you don't know this about Conan, magic is the one thing that Conan doesn't understand and fear.
Just like Superman.
So
he's vulnerable to it.
His son was almost like a Loki-type character for that series. It was really great. I loved the interaction of it all. Growing up, I hated Taurus, but now as an older dude, I think, wow, that was pretty fun. So, there you have it. I think I made the timeline this time, guys. I was quick. Hey, quick. Later.
I love that Wooly Toot's going to always bring it down to Conan, and I love the Taurus choice. That's awesome.
I don't know anything about Conan.
That's totally
kids,
rad. I forgot that he had a goat leg. But he's right. He totally had a goat leg.
I'm learning something new today. I didn't know about no goat leg.
Yeah, he totally had a goat leg. It was a whole thing.
Crazy.
Speaking of love slaves, calling all the way from Pittston, Pennsylvania, our very own Tony Mathers, the Credible Hulk. Let's see what he had to say.
Doesn't it say?
Well, it said PA, and for a moment I was like,
that's Pennsylvania.
Well,
buddy.
Yeah, what else would it be?
Beers and shots, folks. He's had beers
there you go, Matt.
And
Tony Mathers, the Credible Hulk. Just calling to answer your question of the week for my favorite comic book offspring. Short and sweet, I'd have to say it's John Romita Jr. I can give or take his artwork. I mean,
that's an awesome answer.
His Avengers work left something to be desired for me, but he's doing a pretty good job on Captain America. That, and I really like his initials, JRJR. So, have a good one, guys.
Tony Mathers with a curveball.
Flipping the question on its head. That is an awesome answer.
Very creative.
I didn't even see that coming.
Very creative.
I love that answer.
Yeah.
That is so good.
Very, very well done.
And a great answer, by the way. JR Jr., where would we
Listen,
be?
I've gone on record. I'm a huge fan of John Romita Jr.
I am too. His Daredevil, probably.
Hater. No.
My favorite.
You're a hater.
Daredevil ever drawn. John Romita Jr.'s Daredevil.
He's good.
My favorite Daredevil.
Daredevil is good.
Hands down. I'm not a hater.
You are.
I'm not a hater.
You're one of those guys who are like, no. John Romita Jr. Avengers.
No, there's some things that he did that I did not particularly care for, but when he works with Klaus Janson, God is gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
I feel like the record will reflect that that statement is a lie, but that's all right.
What? No, what are you talking about?
We complained about his art. His art. People have been complaining about his art for months.
It wasn't great.
Years.
Recently, it wasn't great.
On the Avengers reboot stuff with Bendis.
Recently?
And he's inked by Klaus Janson.
I know, but...
And I'm the one that says, no, John Romita Jr. is an excellent artist. Klaus Janson's the problem.
Oh, is that... Really?
Yes. Look it up.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll check the record there.
Listen, I love John Romita Jr.
Fair enough.
I think that's a great answer. Good call, Tony.
Let's go to the MP3s.
MP3 crew.
Moving on to our MP3 friends, Aaron Myers, who has no business sending us an MP3, but is doing so anyway, answered the question.
We want him to.
No, I love it. I love it. And I feel like there's probably a soundtrack here. Aaron, show us what you got.
Hey guys, it's Aaron Myers, THN Love Slave, and co-host of the Comics Therapy podcast that can be found at comicstherapy.com. Just saying.
Get over it, Aaron.
That's a plug.
I'm answering the question of the week about favorite comic book relation, I guess we'll call it. I have no idea about favorite, but I always kind of go with whatever first comes to mind. And the first thing that came to mind was Maxine Baker. More specifically, Maxine Baker, probably from the current run of Animal Man. I really like that she is the avatar of the Red, and how Buddy Baker was kind of is now just Animal Man. And I like that she has this power that she's growing into, where Buddy has his power, his Animal Man powers, but he's no longer the avatar, and that's kind of been separated. And we have like more of this growth going on. So I really like the exploration and the growth of her powers. And hopefully Lemire gets to kind of explore that and expand it out further. So that's the first thing that came to mind. Hope that answers the question, and I'll talk to you on the flip side.
Man, I just feel like that was way more intense than it actually deserved.
I like the fade out and everything. I would say, watch your levels, buddy. You know, like you were kind of breaking up a little bit there, and that has to do with clipping. It's a whole different thing. Yeah, go ahead, email me. I'll walk you through this. Not a problem. I've been right there, sucker. But I love Maxine. That's a great pick. That's a really, really good pick. It didn't even occur to me. She has been central to the Animal Man relaunch and has been a great character. And it's really cool to see like such a young child with so much power who is being completely responsible and doesn't necessarily know that she's a hero, but wants to be a hero because her father is. Endearing. It's been really well done. That's a great pick, and I really like it.
Whatever. I'm fine with it. I don't read Animal
Man. The
man
has no feelings.
I don't read Animal Man anymore. I got sick of Rot World, all right?
Rot World was good.
Rot World went on for collectively 36 issues between those two titles.
It went on for a little while.
That's 3 years.
I really liked it.
3 years.
It hasn't been 3 years since they've even relaunched.
But it's 18 issues of Swamp Thing and 18 issues of Animal Man. That's 3 years worth of comics.
It's not 3 years. Because
that's 36 issues.
I understand.
3 years.
It happened in less than 3 years. We agree with that?
It felt like an
eternity. It happened in a year.
It felt like... No, it happened in 18 months, genius.
Okay. A year and 6 months. I know we've all been dying to hear what our man Johnny Booch sounds like. And guess what, folks? He called in this week, finally. Props to you, Johnny. You're a real man now. Let's hear what he had to say.
All right, Johnny Booch here with my answer to the question of the week. All right, I struggled with this question at first. There was an obvious choice that I'll get to in a bit, but I was afraid that everyone was going to go for that one, and so I wanted to try to get off the beaten path a little bit and maybe talk about someone like Maxine Baker from Animal Man.
What?
Bentley 23 from FF. Oh! I think that in the end, the obvious choice was obvious for a reason, and so I'm going to have to go with Damian Wayne. Now, the reason that Damian Wayne is my first choice for the question is because of how organically the character grew into my good favors. When I first started reading the character, back when Bruce Wayne was gone and Dick Grayson was Batman, I didn't like him at all. I found him annoying. I thought that his gruff exterior with the heart of gold shtick was a bit cliché. And to be honest, I found the concept of Bruce Wayne's biological son being a Robin to be extremely gimmicky. However, all of these opinions fell away one by one when Bruce Wayne came back, and Batman and Robin became a book about a father and his son. The relationship between Bruce Wayne and Damian is one of the most interesting ones I've ever seen in superhero comics. By the time Bruce was Damian's age, his own parents were gone, so there's this kind of inexperience there that casts Batman in a shadow of hesitation and self-doubt that we almost never see on the character. He wants so badly to be a good father to his son, but is absolutely terrified about not knowing how. Another aspect of the relationship that I found interesting was Damian's training as an assassin. Rather than becoming a story about a father pushing his son into a violent life of vigilantism, it was a story about a father trying to hold his son back, trying to reprogram years of brainwashing and violent behavior. It was a story of a father trying to make his son more emotional instead of less, and that's something I haven't seen very much of, especially in superhero books. By the time of his death, which is something that I won't even bother getting into here. Damien had grown into an incredibly complicated person. Under his gruff exterior, Bruce had uncovered more than just a heart of gold. He had found wells of vulnerability, and the kind of enthusiasm that served to remind readers that, despite where he came from, Damien Wayne was still just a little kid who only wanted to make his father proud. Like I said, it's an obvious choice, but I'd be lying if I said that there was another parent-child pair that hit me like Batman and Robin did.
John, if you want either of our jobs, you can have them. That was amazing.
I can't decide what I like more.
That was amazing.
When somebody calls in like Shonix and just kind of rambles and loses their train of thought and then gets back to it. Or somebody that's deeply prepared
right.
in every way.
Like, that was written. Obviously, he wrote that out.
But
regardless, goddamn, I totally agree.
That was an excellent...
Yeah, that makes me want to change my answer. Like, that was amazing.
That was an excellent answer, John.
Joe Patrick, I'm taken aback by John's answer. I don't think I can start. Do you want to start us off with your favorite offspring?
God. Hey, I just want to say, John, thanks for manning up, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking the plunge and joining the MP3 crew.
Welcome aboard, Johnny Boots.
You're in the gang now.
Joe Patrick, what is your favorite comic book offspring?
This is a harder question than I thought it was going
to
be.
This is a very hard question. And you know what? I fought with this one.
And I know that like I wanted to open it up so people didn't necessarily have to pick like a son or daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody did.
Okay.
And that's cool. And I find myself not really thinking of anything else, even though there are great, like Wally West, who is the nephew of Barry Allen.
Love him. Love him. And I thought about naming Wally West.
I thought about that too. I just keep going back. Like John said, the obvious answer is obvious for a reason. While my obvious answer is not the same as his.
Okay.
My answer is still a Robin. And at first I thought I was going to say Dick Grayson, like Princess Ashley did.
Whoa, where are you going?
But I can't.
Where are you
My
going?
My favorite comic book offspring, and you're going to have to go with me on a journey here.
Oh, boy.
Is Tim Drake.
I love it. I love your call.
Because
Tim Drake is my favorite Robin.
Tim Drake is my favorite Robin
Hands
as well.
Hands down, my favorite Robin.
Tim Drake was a character introduced in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
With a much different history than other Robins have had. Right, he was the product of a loving home.
Right.
He wasn't the victim of a terrible crime. His parents were still alive. He just simply was so intelligent and intuitive and deductive that he was able to discern Bruce Wayne's identity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, first it was Dick Grayson's identity, and then by extension, Bruce Wayne's identity. Tim Drake first appeared in a storyline called A Lonely Place of Dying in the 90s.
Correct.
And good call.
That was a fantastic book.
His story is that he was present at the circus when Dick Grayson's parents died.
Right.
And
he was very young.
Yes, very young. And while everything was going on, all the commotion and everything, he saw a moment, and I haven't looked at it in a while, so I don't remember the exact details, but he saw something like Batman talking to Dick. He saw something that made him remember that moment, you know, and the connection between the two.
I think it was the moment when Bruce came out and put his arm around Dick.
Yeah.
He saw that.
Then, sometime later, months, I don't know how long he trained, Robin comes on the scene.
Years.
Dick Grayson as Robin. He probably didn't train for years because we're talking like he's a child.
Oh, Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
You know, he trained it for at least a year.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, a length of time.
365 days.
Robin comes on the scene, and Tim notices an obvious change in Batman, in his demeanor. You know, he's a little bit more lighthearted.
Right.
He's got this partner, and he puts two and two together, and he's just like, huh. And then sometime later, Jason Todd dies, and maybe he doesn't necessarily know that Robin went from Dick Grayson to Jason Todd. But he knows that when Robin dies, Batman gets worse.
Right.
And he just puts all of this together over time, and he comes to Wayne Manor, and he's like, I know who you are, I know what's going on, and I want to help you.
Yeah.
And Batman turns him away, but he's persistent, and eventually, Batman allows him to come on and train to be his new protege.
It was an awesome story.
It's a wonderful story. And I know that it's a stretch to call him an offspring or a relation.
No, it's not.
Because at first, he wasn't tied in any way other than they just knew each other,
right.
And he knew Bruce's secret. It wasn't until years later that they heaped all of this tragedy onto Tim Drake. They killed his dad. His mom got murdered.
And then Bruce adopted him.
And then Bruce Wayne adopted him and formally brought him into the family, right. Made him a son.
Right.
Tim Drake's arc as a character from the jump is one of the best character arcs. I'm saying Tim Drake, not only is he my favorite Robin, he is my favorite character of all of the 90s.
Wow.
He is the best creation to come out of the 90s, in my opinion.
Okay. Wow.
The best single character.
That's hard to argue with. I love, like, man, that Robin run by Chuck Dixon.
Yeah.
With starring Tim Drake, and then later on by Fabian Nicieza.
Mm-hmm.
Man, those are good books.
And that's...
Man, those are good.
What's gone on with Robin, or what has not gone on, in recent years, yeah. is part of what makes Matt and I so mad at
It's
DC.
Really upsetting.
We're not going to get into it, but they've taken a character that I love and marginalized him.
Yeah.
Yes, he's still a Teen Titan. Yes, he's the leader of the Teen Titans, but they've done everything they can to push him away from the rest of the Batman family and the connection with right. the Batman family.
From why he was so cool.
In an attempt to, just because they need to maintain their stupid 5-year timeline.
Yeah. And it's terrible because he really is such an interesting character.
But Tim Drake is my number one.
That is a fantastic choice. And you know what? I wish I would have gone there. But mine is also a DC character.
Yeah. Well, let's be fair. DC does legacy much better than Marvel.
No, they really do.
Well, they did.
They used to. Well, they really used to. Mine is a little more direct. My comic book offspring choice goes straight to a father-son relationship,
sure.
even though this father did not know that he had a son.
Okay.
Mine goes to Connor Hawke.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I loved Connor Hawke as Green Arrow. He came in and replaced Ollie as Green Arrow when yeah. Ollie died, and everyone was pissed. I was pissed.
Yeah.
I loved Ollie as Green Arrow. And when he died, I kept getting the book because I really liked the artist and I really liked the writer at the time. Chuck Dixon was writing it. And I just said, all right, let's follow it and see where this goes. He was created by Kelly Puckett and Jim Aparo.
Ooh, Kelly Puckett.
Yeah, who I miss.
I miss that guy too.
Miss that dude. But everyone was pissed when Green Arrow died and no one wanted to read these
Kelly
new Steros.
Puckett, what book? In Green Arrow?
Yeah. Connor Hawke is a DC comic superhero who operated as the second Green Arrow created by Kelly Puckett and Jim Aparo.
What's his first appearance?
Connor is the son of Oliver Queen, the original Green Arrow, and his former girlfriend, Sandra Moonday Hawke. Connor Hawke first appeared in Green Arrow, Volume 2, Number 0, 1994.
Oh, Number 0.
So it would have been like a
special... 0 hour.
Yeah. It was a special issue written
I did not
by
know that.
Separate creators and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And nobody thought we'd ever see it again, but then they killed Ollie and Connor was thrust into the spotlight. Nobody cared about him. Nobody wanted to read it. And Chuck Dixon took this character that only appeared in this 0 hour one shot. That was a fifth week, like, bull shtick, obviously. But... made him so human and so interesting and so cool. He was a member of the Justice League for a while, Grant Morrison's Justice League.
Yes.
And was so good there and was like the first to admit, I don't think I belong here.
Yeah, yeah.
This is totally weird. Like, you guys are all completely overpowered. And
my favorite Connor Hawke story is the two-part storyline. It's numbers 8 and 9, I believe, of JLA, Grant Morrison's JLA.
Okay.
And the Key, who is an old villain,
right?
Who is nonsense villain from the 60s that Grant Morrison amped up and made kind of cool,
right?
Has imprisoned the entire Justice League in like virtual reality tubes, and they're all like living out
yes.
Elseworlds lives.
Yes.
Like Superman
yes.
is on Krypton as a Green Lantern.
Yes.
It's rad.
Yeah.
And Connor Hawke, what he does not know is that Connor Hawke has just joined the JLA. And so he is in the JLA Watchtower alone, where the Justice League is locked up and the place is swarming with robots. And he runs out of arrows, and all he has left to defend himself is a quiver full of his dad's trick arrows in the museum.
The boxing glove arrow.
And
like
so,
the grabber arrow.
The cliffhanger of the first issue is him looking at the boxing glove arrow saying, "Ollie, you're going to be the death of me." And he runs into action. And he uses that thing to tremendous satisfaction. And he single-handedly rescues the Justice League.
Yeah.
And proves his worth. It's the whole, it's like you said, he didn't think he belonged, but he proved his worth, joins the Justice League.
My favorite Connor Hawk story was actually a Batman story called The Paper Monkey. And it was when all the different martial arts experts descended upon Gotham to prove, and the best part of it was Bruce Wayne thought all the martial arts experts were coming to fight him. They were all coming to square off to see.
It wasn't the Paper Monkey. It was something monkey.
It was the Paper Monkey.
It was a crossover between.
Yeah. It was between
like Brotherhood of the Monkey or something.
No, you're right. It was called like the Brotherhood of the Monkey or something like that. But it was like Batman.
Brotherhood of the Golden Monkey.
Green Arrow, Nightwing. They were all part of. Robin was in there too. And every martial arts like expert you could think of was there. Lady Vic was there. Lady Shiva was there. Kane was involved in it, and they were all descending on Gotham, and Bruce Wayne thought they were all coming to fight him. And in, the middle of this fight, he realized, no, they're not coming after me at all. They're coming after Connor Hawk.
Brotherhood of the Fist.
Oh, sorry, Brotherhood of the Fist.
But
cool. And then there's a scene, and Connor never puts it together. Connor the whole time thinks they're all coming to fight Batman and I just want to help out and do my thing and whatever. And in the end, Bruce Wayne looks at Connor, has this moment, and he goes, "You realize what this means, right?" Because Connor won this fight against Lady Shiva, squared off of her with no weapons and won this fight. And he goes, "What?" And Bruce goes, "It means I'm the second best martial artist here." and Connor was like, "I don't understand." Didn't really get it. And then Bruce leaves, and Nightwing's like, "Do you realize what he just said to you?" And he was like, "No, I'm sorry, I don't get it." He was like, "He just told you he's number two. You are the best. You're number one. You just beat this foe that Bruce Wayne, that Batman cannot beat. Lady Shiva, the martial artist of martial artists, and Green Arrow." Connor Hawk took her apart, and it was amazing. It was a wonderful issue. Connor Hawk, far and away, my favorite comic book offspring that we may never see again.
There's no maybe about it, buddy.
God, it pisses me off. And I hate this new Ollie so much. I hate him.
Okay.
I hate it.
That's
and now they're
going to
give him superpowers on the CW show?
No, they are not giving him superpowers. You read that wrong, you dummy. They're introducing the concept of superpowers to the world of Arrow.
Ugh.
Because the Flash is going to spin off from it. They've never had superpowered characters before.
They've gotten so far away about what I love about Green Arrow, who is far and away my favorite DC character. Love Ollie Queen.
Sounds like you got there in the end. It wasn't that big of a struggle for you, ultimately.
This was an excellent question. I had a lot of fun with this one, you guys. We're going to have a new question up this Friday. Joe Patrick's going to post it on our forums. We need you to go there. We need you to sign up. And we need you to discuss this stuff. If you want to call us...
Listen, nobody answered this question on the forums.
Yeah,
what is wrong with you people?
Write your answer down.
You've got opinions.
Let's discuss it. Let's talk about it. But also, call us at the Ziggurat Direct Line, 402-819-4894. Use our Skype handle, which is...
Don't even bother.
Which is Two-Headed Nerd, all one
just
word.
Just don't bother to use Skype. Just email us an MP3.
It's not the
easy.
Best, I'll give you that. Or send us an MP3. Thanks so much for everybody's calls. We love it when you guys respond to this stuff. But please, go to the forums. Write your answer. Let's get in some real discussion. Let's sit down. Let's hammer it out. Let's take more than 3 minutes to do it.
Let's get to the meat of it.
Let's get to the meat.
Yeah.
Matter.
Say hi to your mother for me.
I don't know where that came from.
From Mark Wahlberg.
No, I mean, I understand that. Be sure to tune in this weekend for another exciting episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic-Cast. It might be a little late because we're going to record on Sunday, so we can make sure to get all the New York Comic-Con news to discuss. Be good. Take care of yourselves. Remember, nobody loves you more than we do. And we'll talk to you this weekend.